Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hello and welcome to the Scoutcast. My name is Joe.
My name is Seb.
My name is Andy.
Welcome back, Seb, and hello again, Andy. It's green arrows all round for us and no unicorns this week. In fact, we're going even further. We're gonna bust the myths and legends of FPL and the Unicorn Kingdom. Seb, what else is coming up in the show?
I don't know if I can top that, mate. Is it green arrows all around, by the way? Did I get a green arrow?
Yes. Well, I've given us all green arrows, whether we have.
I'll take it.
Did I get a green arrow?
Yes, oh. Yeah.
I mean, I don't think I've moved in about 4 weeks, so that wasn't a play for anything special. That's why I didn't know. I'm like, oh, it's just the same rank again, give or take. Anyway, so we will, of course, first look at our Game Week 12 roundups and see if I did actually get a green arrow or I'm just an idiot. We don't have any rough with the smooth this week because everyone did either far too well with the defence or was far too boring and got in Dennis for Rafinha or something, you jammy scumsers. So instead, we are going to move on to discussing FPL myths, as Joe mentioned. I believe you had success with unicorn-related humour last week. So we're going more.
Sorry, what was that again? Unicorn what?
Humour? Unicorn-related humour.
Oh, related. Blimey.
What did you think I said?
Just let's move on.
Oh, no. Okay. So we're going to look at some FPL myths. We've got one of our own each to talk about and some community ones as well that they either want busting or proving correct. We will, of course, then look at the next four fixtures. We have the community team, Alex's team, which we're going to have a look at, which has done well, I think, under the leadership of Joe and Andy, not so much myself. We have some differentials, of course, and there was success recently, I believe, with Benteke.
So the pressure's on us.
Absolutely. I hear there's a Liverpool midfielder that we're still not allowed to pick, but it's still under 5%.
No, we can still pick him. Now, we're busting the myths. Like, you can't have Mane and Salah.
Anyway, so the last thing on our agenda this week, massive anticlimax here, is our team reveals.
Yes.
But I will now hand over to either you or Andy, I believe, to go first with your team.
Okay, yeah. Before we come to that, I just want to thank everyone in the chat for joining us. Simon, FPL Gaza, Kerim, Matthew, Tony, Rodriv, FPL Focus, who is number two in the world, I believe. So welcome.
Oh, so good.
Mark, and many, many more. Nuclear Atoms says that was horrifying. I don't know whether that was the absence of you two or the fact there were then three of me, so, or we could have been talking about something else.
I could hazard a guess.
who knows?
The way, I think FPL I think it's FPL Focal that's number two in the world.
FPL Focus, so. Oh, he's just some bloke then, or some woman, so just someone in the chat. Okay. Right, he's nothing. No. Aww. Not to worry. No, FPL Focus,
he might be third.
No, FPL Focus is at the moment one amongst the best managers because he's here. He's in the live chat with us, which is great. So thanks so much for joining us. Andy, you are top of the tree. I've been building up. You've got a lovely green arrow. You're up to 244,573.
Yes.
And you've got a mega score. So yeah, tell us about your score and your team and your heroes and so forth.
Yeah, so 180k green arrow. I will very much take that. That helps a lot. So all I've been doing recently is just trying to claw back from that Havertz captaincy that week, really, where everybody just kind of zoomed past me. I mean, my defence, I don't think I've had a week in my, 15 years of playing FPL where I've had a week where my defence has done quite so well. So for everybody that's listening on the pod, sat in goal, got me 8 points, obviously, against West Ham. I tell you what, when they keep a clean sheet, he gets bonus points. He makes saves and he gets bonus. So, and Wolves do not concede a lot. I think they only concede one goal if they do. So, yeah, I was very happy with that. Trent, Rudiger. I've got Rudiger twice there. Trent, Rudiger, Chilwell.
As sent me these teams, and he said, can you spot any mistakes? So I went, yeah, in your one, you'd gone up to 24,000th in the world. And I said, I'm sure, I mean, Andy's done it very well this week, but I'm sure he hasn't done that well.
I wish I had two Rudigers.
I didn't even spot there were two Rudigers.
But anyway, so Trent, Rudiger, Chilwell and Cancelo. Okay. So I think it was over 50 points from my defenders and goalkeeper this week, which, absolutely buzzing about that. There was a lot of chat. I think it was last week. Somebody mentioned I should play Livramento over Rudiger. So I'm very, very happy that I did not listen to that person. Salah is captain. And then, to be honest, just loads of twos and ones. Son and Bumo, Foden all getting not much. And Bumo just continues to flatter to deceive. Antonio with only 2 points. But then Tony finally got his goal as well. Extremely happy last week. I flirted with captaining Cancelo at one point, but to be honest, I was just happy to go with the masses and Captain Salah. So yeah, 87 points, 180k green arrow. Very, very happy indeed.
So what the key to that, though, before we move on to mine and Seb's teams, is the key to that is obviously you've got that spine of Alexander-Arnold, Rudiger, Cancelo and Chilwell and Salah captaincy. Mm. But around that, the difference between getting, you know, quite a good green arrow and a very, very good green arrow is there. Sarr, it's the wall. You've got a Wolves defender in there. Quite a differential in you know, compared to a lot of other teams. And there's that 8 points has really helped. So it was like when I got Armstrong's 9 points the other week, and that turned a good green arrow into a very good green arrow. Which is that, but
I can't let that go on.
No. I'm building this up because after we've spoken about teams, we're going to come to Seb's main myth that he will bust, and so we'll come to that. So sort of hold that thought about the power of these differentials.
The reason you did well this week, Andy, is because you had Jose Sarr. That's what Jose saying.
Yes. Yep. Yeah. and here's me. I got 77. And the reason I did so well this week is because I got Sarr's 5 points off the bench. There were some other blokes involved in this. Alexander-Arnold, Chilwell, Cancelo and Salah, captaincy. Armstrong sort of matched Tony, which many people have there. And Sarr came in for Rafinha. Sarr was the key difference there. And that's the reason I'm absolutely shooting up the rankings, because of that amazing differential of Sarr, who's now injured. But I do like him. I was really impressed with Watford, not just the sheer awfulness of Manchester United. But Watford, in King, Dennis, Sarr, very impressive, very impressive. Even Tom cleverly impressed me. So, Seb, you got 73 points, but a very good green arrow. No Sarr, none of the Sars in there to help you.
Yes, indeed. That's why I didn't have Sarr, so I'm below you. My team, I will run through it for you. Just let me grab it up. I have Steele in goal, obviously for Sanchez, just with his 2 points. The defenders that pretty much everyone who did well this week has got, so Cancelo, Rudiger, Trent. I don't have another Chelsea defender. So Livramento finishing off my back four, who I did choose to play over Jimenez, which I think, like, before it happened, I was happy with that decision based on the fixtures, based on the likelihood of clean sheets versus scoring. Obviously, didn't pay off. Obviously, wish I played Jimenez, or maybe Foden didn't play and Jimenez came in, but that's the way that goes. Foden, as I mentioned, is in my midfield with Mbumu, Salah, captain, and Son, and Antonio and Tony up front, who got 6 points to Armstrong's 5, despite being much higher owned. So I don't know about that, Joe.
No. I mean, all I can see here is just no Sars. Nothing. Nothing.
I can also see Antonio in a Wolves shirt as well. That's quite impressive.
Oh, Jesus. Oh, no. Oh, I did play Jimenez. Give me the points. Give me the points.
I feel, even though I don't do this, I feel responsible. Because I was asked to check.
Oh, yeah. And hence not being sure if I got a green arrow or not. Realistically, I think I've just looked, checked now. I've been 50K for about 4 weeks. So while you two have made really good ground, I think, Andy, you've been like, 450 to 250 or something? I've kind of just treaded a bit of water, which, well, I mean, to contradict myself, maybe maybe those differentials are coming for
you. Well, yeah, I mean, one of the reasons we've done so well is because we have the likes of Saar and Armstrong. But, okay, so...
Although I would argue...
Well, let's go. Let's crack on. We're going to bust some myths here. So we've got our own myths we want to bust, or perhaps we want to sort of say, no, hang on a minute, this is a myth, this is actually reality. And also we want to have a look at the community's myths as well. So we'll go through them and assess whether they should be bust or kept. So Seb, I'm going to put a tweet up on screen so you can sort of tell me what this tweet is, what this discussion's about, and what the myth is, what you need to be bust. And this tweet, well, it went huge. It went almost viral, almost mega viral. Sort of in the FPL.
I'm not sure about that.
Well, you got about 1,000 likes or so. So that's viral in my books. So here we go. Here's your tweet.
Fair enough. Yeah, cool. So I mean, it's a very shallow tweet, really. Just saying that I think one of the biggest myths in FPL is that you need differentials to climb the ranks. I'm not saying differentials are a bad idea. In fact, we're going to talk about some later. But there often seems to be this received wisdom that if you're, you know, X 100K, whatever it is, you can't possibly captain Salah, or you must bring in someone who is under 10% owned to climb the ranks. And if anything, I think you're more likely to go down the ranks than go up the ranks. When we get to game week 35 or whatever, sure, if you're 30 points off the person you want to catch, yeah, of course, you've got to be different. And this conversation, you know, I'd love to pass over to you two in a sec. There's lots of nuance to it. And of course, differentials are important in terms of the speed which you climb ranks or drop down ranks, of course. But realistically, it's a points game. It's a relative points game, of course. But if I get more points than you, it doesn't matter where they came from. If they come from an unlikely source, I'm more likely to score more points than you in 1 week, because fewer people are likely to have that player. But realistically, especially at this stage of the season, you kind of just need to focus on getting the best players you can. And I don't think it matters how highly owned they are or where you are in the rankings.
Well, a related point just in the chat here, Ali has said to me, Saar is the reason we have Green Arrow, said Joe, but I don't mention that it's also what caused me to drop the previous 3 weeks. Au contraire, Ali. I've been getting Green Arrows the last few weeks because Saar's been on the bench. And
the thing I was going to mention about Saar is that just picked a goalkeeper, got a clean sheet, Martinez. I got 6 points this week, obviously 2 less than Saar. But the argument there is Martinez is one of the highest owned goalkeepers, Saar much lower. It was a 2-point difference. If Saar had got 20 points and all the other goalkeepers had got 1 point, you would have climbed many, many more ranks than if the reverse had occurred. But you still need to actually score those points. So it is the highest point scorers we want. It's just the magnitude of difference is what the differential accounts for.
I think, looking at all our ranks here as well, 93, 55, 244. These are all, I mean, there's 20 points between me and Andy, 20 points between me and Seb. I mean, it's quite congested. I'm quite happy being at this stage, because if I can... What you were saying, avoiding these differentials, not really going for those differentials, perhaps for the sake of it as well, and going for the tried and tested players and to steadily climb up the rankings. I mean, we're coming up to game week 13. I'm absolutely delighted to be where I am in the rankings at the moment. And if I can keep moving, 5K a week, 2K a week, keep going, you know, eventually get into the top 10K, take it from there. And then when the bench boosts and the et cetera and the chips come out to play, hopefully I could push on there. That's the aim anyway. But perhaps I and other managers might have been in this position before, and then they think, oh, I want to push on further. I think I'm going to captain someone a bit different, or I'm going to get this. Oh, this person's like 0.4% owned, so I'm going to get them in, and they can match Gallagher. They can match Reece James. And it's that feeling there. And that's what could cause a massive rank rise. But more often than not, it probably is going to mean a red arrow.
I think one last thing I'd like to throw at you before I'd love to invite Andy to speak on it as well is I think we maybe focus too much on individual players, individual game weeks. You know, you're talking about how much can I jump in one game week as opposed to looking at half a season or however long you want to look at. And I think an example that highlights it really nicely is that the Cancelo, James, Chilwell, Trent backline, all of them are 25 to 35% ownership, if I recall. Mm. but only 5% of managers own all four. And in the top 10K, only 14% own all four. So arguably that backline is a differential, even if none of the individual players are. So I think we get far too hung up on, oh, you need to have this player and that player and this player. It's your team that matters. So sure, pick one random differential if you want a bit of fun. You know, it's a game, let's have fun. But realistically, pick the team that's going to get you the most points, regardless of where you are in the rankings.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, thank you. You've literally just taken what I was about to say.
Oh, sorry, buddy.
That's okay. That's literally what I was going to say. If you have a look at it, you know, it's looking at combinations of players rather than looking at just one. You know, one player can be 30% owned, but if you own him and another player from that team, or, you know, the combination of all the best performing players, you're going to be doing well because you're one of only a few amount of people that actually have those select players in your team. So I think that's a good way of looking at it and trying to look at it in combinations rather than just one player. And also, I've had this conversation an awful lot. When you look at somebody like Disable, Luke, he plays the game in a certain way where he wants to captain and triple captain differentials at certain times. And it's how you want to play. If you look at somebody like Joe, for instance, you know, our lovely host, you've always finished in the top 100K. And that's, and you're very, very happy with that. But whereas someone
I wouldn't say happy. It will do.
Whereas someone like
Andy's
Luke,
saying you should be happy with it. Joe. Well done, Joe.
Let me speak. Someone like Luke might have a season where he finishes 1 million, but then also might finish second one season because there's very, very different ways of playing it like that. And I think you've just got to know yourself as a manager and know whether you want to go for differentials, want to have a bit of fun, but also be wary that it can also lead to misery and you've got to be happy with the shots you take. We did it a couple of weeks ago. We captained Havertz instead of Salah. Salah had the big EO. Havertz didn't, but we thought Havertz was going to do it and he was a big differential. And imagine if he hauls. He didn't, but the people that took the shot hopefully were happy about that because you're going to have those shots every now and again. But I do just think, I think people get hung up on EO an awful lot and get hung up on these differentials when they don't really need to.
You were talking about combinations well. So is there any advice you would give around those? I mean, I guess an obvious one is you want to get the goal scorer and the assister of that combination. Mm. And it doesn't matter what their ownership is. They both could be 90% owned. But, Is there any particular advice?
I guess so. And it's... Yeah, and it's obviously a lot harder when it's over a couple of weeks, isn't it? Or whether it's only 5 to 10 weeks, whatever. I always think of free hits like that. You know, it's nice having the combined players from the teams, isn't it? But obviously, we only free hit once a season.
Mm. Yeah, I mean, I mentioned it quite a few times. The classic combination was Suarez Sturridge, where you with Liverpool, you pretty much always got the assister and the goal scorer. Suarez was, I don't know what, 70% owned, probably 100% amongst the engaged managers. But Sturridge was about sort of 40-50% owned, as far as I can remember. But combine the two and captain one of them, Suarez, most likely, then suddenly you've got a very potent sword there. So I do advocate that as well. There's a thing Mark was saying in the chat that he was saying that he's had 86% template. So he's pretty much almost getting the template every week. And he's got green arrows as a result, small green arrows, but nevertheless. And a few weeks back, I was on a run of red arrows. And when you look on our live FPL, it's my team, it said moderately differential or something like that. But since the last few weeks when I've got green arrows, it said very template or moderately template. And that's helped. So, yeah, there's definitely merit in this tweet, which is why it got so much chat on Twitter, was because lots of people are actually getting quite nice, steady rank rises without being that different. Seb... the other thing I was going to mention is the fun element of the game. And Andy mentioned Luke. And for me, I don't want to live in a world where I can't get Chris Wood into my team whenever I want him. And I say that, just it could be anyone. It could be Armstrong. It could be Benteke. I like to have about 12 to 13, you know, doesn't matter what the effect, you know, the hugely owned perhaps, but you know, just steady Eddie players. I like to take a risk with one or two.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
And usually for me, it's a third striker. It could be a defender. It could be that fourth midfielder, but not too many. I don't have more than two or three. If I end up with more than two or three, I'm get a bit worried. But yeah, Seb, do you, I mean, you know, fitting in with your narrative here, does that fit into your narrative?
I mean, it's a game. If that brings you fun, do it. I mean, we spoke, was it last time on or I was on or whatever, the you know, the impact of FPL on mental health? Absolutely. Like, play it the way that makes you the happiest at the weekend. And I don't mean that in a sort of, oh, play it the way that makes you the happiest and unlucky you've done poorly. I mean that quite genuinely. If the thing that brings you most joy is chasing that number one rank or whatever, by any means necessary, do that. If not, if you're using it to supplement your enjoyment of football, which is the intended thing for FPL, right? It's a marketing tool to get people to watch the Premier League. And I've never watched a Burnley-Brighton match without having FPL players, probably. Then that's the way to go. That's probably the better way to go. I think I'd have nicer weekends if I was looking for the best, most fun way to play it.
We've got Neil in the chat from Fantasy Football Scout was saying, another myth being perpetrated by me is that FPL is fun. It can be.
For sure. One thing I'd love to, just from the chat, to pick up on, and you mentioned it, Joe, is this idea of the template and someone being 86% template for their team or whatever. Obviously, presumably, that takes the number of players you have, you know, from 1 to 100% ownership individually, and works out how many players you have compared to, you know, the greatest ownership of players. But the most owned team won't be comprised of the most owned players necessarily. They're kind of tracking two different things. So you could own, you know, if we say number 1 to 11 in terms of the highest owned players, regardless of price, that isn't necessarily the most owned team. Because as Andy said, it's about combinations, and the highest owned combinations won't necessarily be the two highest owned players, for example. Because say Salah and Mane were both 50% owned, but they're the both expensive midfielders in the game. That could be because everyone owns one or the other, not both.
We had a couple of people in the community commenting on Twitter as well about this. Sergeant Frank Drebin, I don't know if it's the Frank Drebin from Police Squad, but anyway, he says, he noticed your tweet, Seb. He said that, you know, you need differentials to climb the ranks is a myth, and he saw that you posted on Twitter and getting stick for it. And I did see there was a bit of lively debate on Twitter from it, even though you were completely right. So he very much backs you. And Praz, who has appeared on this show and other videos, was saying that it's a myth. Exactly what we've just been talking about. It's a myth that an 85% template team cannot rise big in ranks. So it is showing there that you do not necessarily need those templates. But as I've mentioned with Chris Wood, I quite like to have one or two. I think you can get away with it. Get away without Chris Wood. Never thought I'd say that.
How about the flip side? What scenario would you two deliberately go for a differential? You've mentioned fun, obviously. Are there other scenarios where you would go against the most commonly owned players on purpose?
I would, if I was only thinking about my league, and I knew that the guy in first had certain players or was very template, I might go against it. Free hits, if it's just 1 week, I think I might go against it then, because you're kind of backing the well-owned players not to do well so you can gain rank there. And in game week 38, that's usually a good time as well. Game week 38, because you know you don't have to worry about it after that. And it's very rare that I go into game week 38 without bringing in somebody that I think just for that 1 week could do quite well. So there's probably the three just off the top of my head.
Just another tweet, another from Ali in the live chat. I think Ali's confused me with someone else. He keeps targeting me. He said, to be fair, Joe, you take a lot more risks when it's someone else's team, i.e. the scout team that we're managing. Easier to advise people to take risks. Well, as both of you know, I'm not taking any risks at all with this team. I think we took one. I think Zaha was the biggest risk. The rest are like, absolutely.
The biggest risk we took was forgetting about it 1 week, wasn't it?
Forgot about it 1 week.
that went quite well.
These are solidly template players in there. I think, yeah. Well, basically, yeah, it's got Zaha in it. That's it.
I mean, that is an interesting discussion though, like the psychology of your own team versus someone else's, because I'm sure you get asked on Twitter, you know, should I choose this player or that player? Should I take a hit? I find I'm always much more cautious with the advice I give other people than what I do with my own team. I'm always more likely to tell other people not to take a hit or to not make a risky transfer. And I guess maybe that's because I don't want to feel responsible for like a high risk move coming off or not.
I try and find out a bit more about what's behind it as well. So for example, if say, shall I take a hit to get Reece James in? Well, yeah, probably will. It probably will pay off. It'll pay off next week and it'll probably pay off within a month. But then it might transpire they've already taken two hits already. And they've already got double Chelsea defence. They're looking to treble up or something like that. So it all depends on what the you know, the reasoning is behind it. But yeah, so it's quite difficult, you know, answering queries on Twitter or wherever, because sometimes we don't get the full picture. But where we can, we do. But yeah, so sometimes we might the advice might be a bit sort of basic and don't, you know, take a risk. Don't take a risk. But yeah, sometimes there is a bit more to it. Shall we move on to the next myth to bust? So this is my one. So I sort of started off with a different take on this. So anyway, I'll explain. It's about formation. And obviously a formation is based on the players. And so you have to adapt to, you know, whichever players you've got in front of you. So we're seeing a lot of talk this week about defenders, Reece James, Chilwell, Cancelo, Alexander Arnold. So people are thinking, well, we've got to go four at the back, got to go five at the back. And it's sort of become at the expense of, say, 3-4-3, or assuming that you can't have three viable strikers, not necessarily to play every week, but maybe to bench one and then bring them on perhaps, but to have that sort of flexibility. But anyway, so we're looking at basically the myth is that 3-4-3 or indeed 3-5-2 are dead. And the best formations now have four at the back. And I'm saying that I think that is a myth. And I think reports of the demise of 3-4-3 have been grossly exaggerated. So I played a limited number of defenders at the back for years. That's the way I like it, because I don't like to wait for a clean sheet. I do like the goals and assists. Now we have a situation where defenders are also getting the goals and the assists. So sticking to 3-4-3 could be counterproductive to me. But I think it's a bit of a myth to say that it's completely gone. And I know we were talking a bit about it in our Twitter group before, and about formation and is it a distraction and aren't we really just talking about players? And of course, that is what we're talking about here. And we have a situation with players where certain formation might be, you know, applicable, but at other times we might need to change. And that's why I've got the likes of, say, Kane in my team, because I might want a very expensive front line at some point. So I want to sort of have that money invested up there. Sorry, Seb, you look like you're about to say something.
I was just going to say you're very big on structure and being able to get where you want in a limited number of moves, aren't you?
Yes. So I think that's one of the reasons I've stuck with 3-4-3, because you can move around. So I can move to a 4-4-2, a 4-3-3, and all of these things if I've got a workable bench there. And 3-4-3 sort of allows that. So you can hop on a Ronaldo or a Kane at any moment. So what I did is I compared myself to the number one in the world, Daniel. So a bit unfair for me, that is. He's number one. So this is, and I had a look at the FPL Statistico site. And I wondered what formations I've used so far this season and what's been the most successful. So this is me. So it shows that I have been a bit adaptable, but I am mostly sticking with 3-4-3. I've used that six times. 4-3-3 has been rolled out twice, 3-5-2 twice, 5-3-2 once, and a 4-4-2 once. Obviously, some of these are by design and some of these are because bench players have come on because of rotation or illness, etc. But my most successful strategy with 73.5 average has been 4-3-3. So that's, I found that quite interesting. But 3-4-3 is not too shabby with 69.7. 3-5-2 and 5-3-2, pretty successful as well. 5-3-2, 71. But it's 4-4-2 where whatever happened, this is such a small sample, obviously, one game week, 42. So it's going to very much depend on the players there. Those four players could have been Cancelo, James, Alexander-Arnold, etc. And it could have been the week they all went off, one of the many weeks they all went off. So anyway, it shows me that I have been adaptable, but I'm still sticking with 3-4-3. But I looked at the world number one and I was expecting to see loads of 4-3-3s. I was expecting to see 4-4-2, 5-3-2s. Well, have a look at this. This is Daniel and his formations. 3-4-3, 8 times. 3-4-3, and it's his most successful. 83.6 on average using that 3-4-3, that tried and tested 3-4-3 formation. 4-3-3 is used twice, 68. 5-2-3 is used once, 68. 3-5-2, once, 65. Small samples. I found it interesting, though, that this week the narrative in a lot of other podcasts, a lot of other videos and articles, etc., is go big at the back. Oh, forwards are hopeless. They're all washed up. Don't go for forwards. And this shows that a variety of formations are being successful this season. So anyway, that's the end of my spiel. Fire away.
I mean, the only thing I really have to add is probably quite stupid. But from my point of view, it's not about formations, it's about players. And obviously the players we pick make the formation. But for example, Andy has had success with his defence this week. He hasn't done that, though, because he thinks defenders in general are good. It's because some quite specific defenders are good, and that's how he's going to fit them in his team. To go back to his combinations point, say a Chilwell and a cheaper midfielder is better than a more expensive midfielder and a cheaper defender for him at the moment. And I think this is where real football bleeds into FPL. If people like Reece James, Trent Alexander-Arnold is probably the poster boy of this, Leighton Baines a little while ago, if they're going to start scoring more points, because in real life, Trent is not really a defender if we think in the traditional Gary Neville defender sense, then of course we're going to start moving our price points and our options into the defence, because that's where the points are coming from. Whereas in the past, they were coming from strikers, midfielders, whatever. And it will change again, right? You know, we'll have some injuries or Harry Kane will suddenly show up, Cristiano Ronaldo will show up again, and we'll be trying to switch our teams up again.
I just wanted to answer a point from Shani Russell in the live chat. He got a bit lost in my spiel earlier. Apologies for that. And it was a particular point I made. I was saying I pick 3-4-3 because I can change to any formation, and he didn't understand that. The reason I say that is because that is a sort of a very moderate formation. It's a bit of everything. I'm not investing everything in five at the back and having two very benchable strikers. What I mean is I've got my money invested up top. I've got a sort of a breadth of players there that I can get, and so it means that I can move around a bit. So it means with a 3-4-3, it's very likely that my bench players will be a 4.5 midfielder and 4 million and a 4.5 million defenders. So in an era where we have the likes of Livramento and we previously had, say, Duffy, I found that at the moment and in previous seasons to be quite flexible. I hope that makes sense. I just find 3-4-3 to be quite flexible. But he also says that I'm quite defensive about it. I'm not really that. I mean, honestly, I really don't care. But it's just something that I found quite comfortable in playing with. Andy, what do you think about formation? Do you care about it?
No, not really. I think you've got to adapt based on each season and based on what you're seeing in, you know, the most recent bits that's been happening, basically. And for me, this season, I think going with four at the back makes complete sense because we've got four defenders, maybe five defenders, that are just absolutely out of this world at the moment. You know, for me, I cannot see a world where you can't be owning Trent. That's got to happen. You've got to own Trent. He's one of the best players in the game, really, as well as Salah. You've got to be owning someone like Cancelo because you need some City cover, and he's just playing unbelievably well at the moment. And for me, you've got to have one of Reece James or Chilwell. And to be honest, I'm starting to think you just have to have both. There's not a world where you can't. You know, you're watching these players, and it's like Trent Alexander-Arnold and Robertson from Liverpool all those years ago. I say all those years ago, 2 years ago, where we were watching them thinking this is... And in some ways, I think they're better. They're both getting forward into the box, having shots, which, you know, Robbo and Trent were better for assists, weren't they, that year? But I just look at it and think there's four there that I'm going to rely on as well. And people are worried about rotation. Obviously, Christmas coming up, and we're going to talk about that a little bit later as well. But I just look at it personally and think four at the back for me. I was toying with the idea of playing five at the back. I was toying with the idea of having Rudiger in there as well, because I've already got him. And I think you've got to adapt to it based on the fact that this season we're seeing that they are the most reliable assets. When I look in midfield, people talk about Jota, people talk about Son, people talk about Mount, Havertz. They're not reliable. Like, they genuinely aren't. They're either injured or they're in and out of form, whereas these defenders are just killing it every week. And you've got to jump on it while it's happening, because look what's happened to me this week. Massive green arrow, because I own as many as possible. But one thing I will say is, and it was quite interesting when you were bringing up those formations there, Joe, I played 3-4-3 in game week 9 when I captained Havertz over over Salah. Nothing to do with the fact my formation was 3-4-3. It's because I made a bad decision elsewhere. So it's interesting to kind of try and put some...
But it would be interesting across the season, because usually I don't really look at these formations until we're like, you know, 30 game weeks in, because we'll have... So you would have perhaps more data about any 3-4-3s you use, so you better mix it up. You'll have non-Havertz captained weeks and others. I just want to thank Matthew Kent in the live chat, who has explained my point far better than I did, which is that it's basically with a 3-4-3 and a price point strategy, you're pretty much getting at least the most expensive defender, most expensive midfielder, most expensive forward, and that enables that flexibility in one to two moves to hop on anyone. And that's difficult if you don't have that, you know, the most expensive forward, for example. So thank you there, Matthew. You have explained that beautifully. I've got another table to show, just on the theme of, you know, is it a myth that the certain formations are dead? Is it a myth that certain formations we should be going for? So I haven't really got a narrative about this, so people can make up their own minds. So this is the top 10 players of the last 6 game weeks by minutes per XGI. There are obviously other metrics available. You could look at double digit hauls. You could look at shots in the box, chances created, whatever you want to look at.
Please don't look at double digit hauls.
Or anything. Or you can look at Rafinha's 9 points every week. so your 9 point hauls. But nevertheless, this shows you that... in terms of minutes per XGI, Firmino, if available, is a great option to get in here. And it so happens to be a differential, but nevertheless, he could be well owned. But what there is there's one defender in this list. There are 3 forwards and the rest are midfielders. You would imagine there would be more midfielders, because more midfielders are playing in goal-scoring roles for their teams. But also, there are just simply more midfielders that you can have in your squad and more midfielders in the game. But yeah, I'll run down this list. We've got Firmino at the top, then Josh King, minutes per XGI, Salah, Benteke is just after him, then Mane, Gundogan, Keita, Bowen, Alexander-Arnold and Foden. So Alexander-Arnold is the one there, and he's someone that in the captaincy video earlier today we're talking with Tom about, if people are minded to captain a defender, they don't want to captain Salah for whatever reason, and they are minded to captain defender. There we go. Alexander-Arnold is the one. I don't think it is the Chelsea guys. I don't think it is Cancelo. It's Alexander-Arnold is the one I would feel most comfortable with. How about you? Either Seb or Andy.
Over to you, Andy.
No, you do it, Seb. You do it, Seb.
you've let me go so much. Thank you. I mean, Trent is the best. If you owned none of them, he's the one to get first. But a lot of people own Trent, and you can have more than one. I guess the one thing this table doesn't take into account is the extra points that defenders will receive from, say, clean sheets, but also scoring a goal. It's worth more to them. So if we were looking at, say, expected points, you may see some defenders higher up here. Mm-hmm. Of course, the value conversation always comes in as well. There's 50% of this list, give or take, that are probably at par or over with the cost of defenders. Now, I know diminishing returns, value, it's not all that, but it is worth looking at on a squad level. And then, yeah, I think the last thing I'd love to point out is Josh King there, looking at minutes per XGI, is seriously impressive.
Yeah.
I was looking earlier, and Foden is in a similar sort of situation where a lot of that XGI comes from a single match. I think, this is off the top of my head, so please go check, but in the match where King scored a hat-trick, he had an XG of like 2.5 and an XA of like 0.5 or something. And against Brighton, Foden had like an XG of 2 and an XA of like 0.5 as well. in all the other matches, they're down in like the 0.5 to 0.4s, which is still absolutely fine and good enough. But those one massive anomalies, if you like, are maybe pumping up their numbers a little bit. So while it doesn't devalue King or especially Foden, it's just worth knowing, you know, some of that behind when we look at a table like this.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. What about you, Andy?
Yeah, I've always got to be sceptical if I'm looking at a table and Firmino's top of it. And, you know, I mean, Seb's the king of saying about, you know, what actually matters and doesn't matter when you're looking at data and things like that. And I think minutes per XGI is interesting to look at. And I love the fact King's up there. He's somebody that I've tweeted about a little bit this week. For me, the ones on that list, I think they are interesting, the people that we're talking about as well. Benteke is interesting. Joe, it was obviously his differential last week and he did very well. Bowen's the other one. You know, loads of people are talking about Bowen too, and I really like him moving forward. I'm actually going a little bit down the road of getting rid of Antonio and having Bowen instead, because I quite like that. I feel like Bowen's probably better value at the moment.
Do you know what?
Antonio's looking very tired.
I'm starting to think that. I quite like it. I think they said a few weeks back, if I was wildcarding that particular week, I'd probably ditch Antonio for Bowen, because Bowen was the guy who was getting the stats and getting the actual points. I haven't gone through with it. Weeks have gone by, but now could be the time. It's tough to
get. I think earlier in the season, Andy pointed out that Bowen's numbers were matching, if not superior, to Benrahma's, but he just wasn't getting the returns.
Mm. Right, let's move on. Now, I like the title of this one, but it's probably about more things. Andy, it says here, is Keenan Davis a myth? Is Keenan Davis a myth?
Yeah, so I didn't come up with the title, by the way. we were looking at the enablers. You know, do we want to have 15 playing players? Now, this is very, very time dependent, because we're obviously coming into Christmas now, and fixtures are going to start really coming up. You know, as soon as I see on the FPL fixture list that Amazon Prime's got the games, I know that we're going into midweek fixtures. So that's obviously happening now. The big thing for me over Christmas is you've got to have players that are playing on your bench. Even if they're not scoring a return, and they've got to be playing. And obviously I look at my team and I've got Lewis Richardson for Burnley, who, you know, I only found out his first name today.
And is he a player? Is he an actual player?
And I know. And I'm looking at it and thinking, you've got to have those players playing. And when you consider the fact that we've only really got one premium at the moment that's performing consistently or performing at all, there should be funds that we can spread around our team that mean we can have playing players. Now, I would say you can get through the Christmas period with only 14 players that are playing. That's absolutely fine. But I do think having 15 is obviously the optimal. But what I did ask Joe to do was to just have a look at who we think are the best enablers so far. So having a look at stats, having a look at that kind of stuff. And he's got a little bit of a table to show us.
I'll put the table up here. And so, yeah, you can sort of go through them and, you know, tell us who you think's good and not so good.
I'd love to.
So here we go. Here's your table.
Lovely. So I'm just waiting because the table isn't up yet for me.
I will happily jump in and fill that gap if you like. Because
well, are you going to give the chat away? Are you?
No, you. Oh,
what? Oh yeah, you got to give the chat away, Mr. Tripwire YT.
Oh no, I mean,
you just got to give him a wave. There we go. Furtive.
Guys, like the Queen.
Oh goodness. I was just going to say that when you mentioned that, the reason I laughed is my transfer this week, or transfers, probably sums up all our myths quite well. And I think I've done bad things for all of them. But I've definitely brought in Keenan Davis, and I definitely now have him on my bench, and I
feel
bad.
He's a myth. So he doesn't exist.
Right. I did it. What I like is I did it to get Reece James as well, who obviously would be considered, real, I guess, the opposite for differential, but I don't have him or Chilwell. So I've tried to move to make my team more template by getting in a player I shouldn't, and I should probably just give up now.
Well, hey, Joe has beautifully brought up the table here of the best enablers, so the best cheap players, basically. And I think there's players on here that have done consistently well as this season's gone on, or are a bit of in form at the moment, we should say. And I think there's some good players here that we should actually be considering. And, you know, Josh King and Denise as well, who are both on there, I think are great options. I genuinely think are great options. I think King is probably going to be on penalties now as well. I know Sarr is injured, but because Sarr missed two of the penalties he took this weekend. Hudson-Odoi, I think, is somebody that I would love to have, but I think with Lukaku being out and there's somebody else that was out as well, probably means he's had more game time than we would have expected. And Timo Werner as well.
And Pulisic and a whole bunch of them.
Yeah, there's been quite a few, hasn't there? And he started tonight as well. The Brentford boys obviously appear here an awful lot, and actually they're being slept on. And unfortunately, we've all picked Mbeumo, like I did, and he was definitely not the best one to go for. So players like Norgaard, Kanos, who I'm going to be talking about later as well, they've been genuinely very, very consistent this year. And, you know, Kanos even this week got a 10-pointer. So they're definitely worth looking at, because I think even in tough fixtures, I feel like Brentford could still get us some points. And then as you get further down, I think you're struggling a little bit because you tend to get into the defenders. So for me, defender differentials, I don't think you really need, because cheap enablers. Because to be honest, we've all got either the big four and then Livramento, or we've got, you know, I don't really feel like we need it. So for me, I genuinely like King and Denise. I feel like when Denise plays, he does incredibly well. And King, like I said, seems to be on penalties now. Obviously, that is after a very good game against Manchester United, and they won't be playing Man United every week. But then I would be looking at those Brentford boys. I would be looking at Kanos. I feel like people have gone for Mbeumo, and Kanos seems to be the way forward. But yeah, I just thought it was quite interesting to have a bit of a look at, basically.
No, I think there's some really interesting ones there. Josh King and Dennis, or Denis.
It is Denise, isn't it?
Denise.
I want to say he's Nigerian, but I don't know if that provides any clues.
King and Dennis, I think, are great value. And I think it just... anyway, we'll come to my thoughts about them in a bit. But yeah, Norgaard at 5 million with 4 chances created, 9 shots inside the box. So he is a bit of a weapon, presumably at set pieces, I would imagine there. With Kanos, Pinnock and Henry, you're talking 4.5. So these are regularly playing defenders who can get some kind of attacking returns. Happy to bench, happy to play. Ben Davis at 4.4 with Tottenham, I think, is quite interesting, regularly playing. Moda at Brighton, he's had a lot of starts. He's getting a lot of starts, Polish international.
Moda's a funny one. He's somebody I had on my list at the beginning of the year as to one to watch, because I wanted to see how he got on this year, because he played in the Euros as well, didn't he? Is he Polish?
Yeah.
Is it Poland?
Yeah,
I think it is, isn't it? He's a good little player, but... it's just interesting. I feel like there are options. Yeah. There are options of players that are playing. And, like, you know, when someone like me that's got a 4.5 million striker on the bench that is never seeing the light of day, I just think it's quite an interesting one.
Well, I think, they're playing, but we might need them. Usually before I do a Meet the Manager video, or rather I've recorded it and it goes out, I don't sort of tell people about it. It just sort of appears magically. Thanks to FPL Partridge's social media skills, he put up a tweet about it today, which is now deleted. So I'm interviewing Greyhead, and it was a fascinating chat. And one of the things that he mentioned to me was that by this time last season, in my team, I'd had one of my bench players coming on. So I had a pretty nailed on rotation proof 11. This season, 8. And I'm experiencing that most weeks. I'm getting one, maybe two of these guys are coming on for me each week. So already we're needing quite a deep bench. And we're not even into Christmas yet. We're not even into a stage where, for tonight, Reece James and Chilwell have started. Then they play Manchester United. Then they play Watford. I mean, we're talking within a week that is all happening. More fixtures coming thick and fast. So they're going to miss one of those matches, I'm sure of it. So we're going to need Henry, we're going to need Pinnock, Kanos, Josh King, Dennis, Norgaard, all of these guys here. But if we're sitting there with Keenan Davis, or I know Seth has got him in now, but if we're sitting there with Street, the mythical Palace striker, who I don't believe exists, if we're sitting there with them in our team, we might not be getting access to potentially some nice points off our bench.
Stick a fork in me.
I didn't know. Obviously, when we did this, I didn't know you were going to get Keenan.
Oh no, that's all good. I quite like them. I transferred like ties into them. Allow me to defend my position, a la Joe. So my transfer was Williams, 4.0 defender who plays sporadically for Norwich, to Reece James. And who did I do to? I did even Tony to Kinnan Davis. So I've effectively swapped one playing player for another. Mm. My bench currently has Jimenez and Rafinha on it, I believe, or whoever it is. Okay. Might be someone else. Maybe Livramento this week, actually. But either way, I have 14 players. Well, I guess 13 and a goalkeeper back up to Sanchez. So 13 playing players, cover for Sanchez, and then one cheap enabler. Andy mentioned optimal when he was talking about it. I would argue that, I mean, it's a knife edge thing for sure, but I would argue that that is about optimal going forward. I could well be proven very, very wrong, and that might be luck or it might be poor judgment on my half, but I'm very happy to get some of that money back into my team. I did Brownhill to Son a couple of weeks ago, which obviously then suddenly meant I had a lot of money on the bench. So I've kind of just reversed that team structure a bit now with this move.
I just wanted to mention Tony in the chat. Apparently, the streak with Palace is quality. So thanks a lot, Tony. Well done. Andy, back to you in this lovely list here. So who's on your bench at the moment? Who have you got your eye on over the festive rotation period, isn't a myth?
Livramento is constantly first on my bench, which I think is perfect. I think I put out a tweet a couple of weeks ago saying, you know, wouldn't you prefer for your first player on your bench to always get you 6 points? Knowing that blanket's there is lovely. And I know he doesn't always get it, but he's done very well, obviously. He's always first on my bench. I've actually got Antonio on my bench at the moment, but it will be someone like Mbeumo probably moving forward, because I think those Brentford players are very, very good bench options to bring on if you need them. And then it's about that striker. And I think having that playing striker third on your bench is quite a nice option. And I think those Watford boys are obviously a good way to go. People are taking the mickey out of the way I'm pronouncing Denise, so I'm going to go Dennis. but I feel like they are good options to have. Anybody where they've fallen in price and they're below that 4.5, I think has to be considered. So obviously Ben Davis is a good one. I've always had a hot spot for Lascelles. I don't know why. I just love the fact that he always plays, and obviously he scored this week as well. So any of those kind of players, I think are great. It's, people on the in the chat are saying, you know, these players aren't going to haul for you. They're not going to come on and get a haul. You know, those chances are very low. But the chance of them getting a two-pointer or a three-pointer can be the difference between, you know, a small green arrow to a slightly bigger green arrow. It can be a big difference. You know, I've lost a mini league once by 1 point, and it can be the difference between a sub coming on for you for two or a sub coming on for you for zero. It genuinely can. So, you know, look after the pennies, and the pounds will look after themselves, hopefully.
Yeah, I mean, this isn't even looking at ownership. I mean, all of these players could be, like, Livramento is hugely owned. But, you know, it's not really ownership. It's just their price and the enablers and that we might need, as Andy was saying, those 2 points or 3 points coming. Or in Lascelles' case, it could be a goal. Could be a goal there. Yeah. So, you know, 5 shots inside the box over the last six is not bad for a 4.4 defender at Newcastle.
I'll also say as well, when they do haul and they come off your bench, you will remember it for years. Like, I used to remember I had Zanka when he was at Huddersfield, and he came off the bench and it was the first time he'd ever come into my team, and he scored a goal that week and kept a clean sheet. And it just, I still remember it now. And that was, what, when was he playing for Huddersfield? Years ago. So, yeah, there you go. It does happen.
Yeah, Aaron Moy for me, and Cody this season. I got one of his goals, one of his two a season off the bench. And yeah, I'll always remember that. I'll remember that more than a Salah brace, because that happens every week. It's getting boring now. Exactly.
I tend to go for a cheap bench more often than not. So the best I can offer you is George Boyd when he turned into Boydinho for a bit. That's all I had. I'd love to answer a question in the chat, if I may. FBL Gaza asks, so I've got Kevin Davis, who's 4.4. Joffrey Gerhardt is 4.5, I think, from Leeds as a forward. Mm-hmm. Just ask why I haven't got him as a Leeds fan. The caveat to everything I'm about to say is I'd say I'm probably quite a pessimistic Leeds fan. We saw last season that, frankly, the Leeds options messed me up. I was too slow to getting them and reluctant. You know, I probably think we're worse than we are generally. So everything I'm about to say might be me just being pessimistic. But in real life, Gerhardt is an awesome player. He's probably the second best player in our academy in the moment in terms of relative ability, behind Archie Gray, who's 15. He is on the verge of the first team. He's been in the squad for a little while, travelling with them and stuff. But it's taken a very long time for him to actually get any minutes at all for the first team. He's been a long time on the bench. And Bielsa does that. We've had a player in the past who spent 40-odd matches on the bench before he ever got a minute for the first team. We know Bielsa likes a tight first-team squad. We know he has his favourites, and it takes a long time for him to switch that up. Pascal Struyck, who's probably our best defender, took half a season to get in the team. You look at Shackleton, who I love, who's a midfielder. He plays at right back when Luke Ayling is injured. And then Stuart Dallas played there this weekend as well. I think Shaq might have been injured. But the point being, it really takes a lot for a youngster to get in our first team. And then with all of that said, Gohart did start this weekend, but that's because Bamford is out, Rodrigo is out, who both could play in that spot, and Rafinha was out ill, which meant Dan James, who had been playing up front, moved back to the right. So while he's a wonderful option in reality, I'm not sure he's an FPL option at the moment, other than just fodder. And if you're getting fodder, save your 0.1 million.
I saw Bamford's back in training at the moment. Now, as a keen student of Bielsology, back in training, does that mean he's likely to play next week, or does that mean that he's gonna have to go 10 years of intensive murder ball or whatever it is before he can start?
I'd probably wait for him to play for the under-23s. So Bielsa has rushed back people like Bamford and Cooper, like pretty senior players in the past. But usually they will turn out for the under-23s first, like Llorente's done that, Phillips has done that. So I'd maybe keep an eye on that. But, you know, he could well get back into the team because he's probably our most important player in terms of system, like even beyond Calvin Phillips. You watch us attack when he's not in the team and it just doesn't work. I mean, it did in the first half against Spurs, but how long has it taken for that to work since he's been injured and then Spurs stopped it?
And what's the latest with Rafinha? He's ill? Do you know any more on that?
Probably know as much as me. So I don't think it's COVID because I think we would have mentioned that. So it does just sound like illness. So I'd hope this weekend. But we do know that while Bielsa tells the truth in press conferences, he's good for that. We do know sometimes he's maybe a little vague. He's probably too truthful. And, you know, if he doesn't know the answer to something, he just tells you he doesn't know. And I don't think we've had much information beyond that on Rafinha. So I hope he's back. He's in my team. But I don't think we have confirmation.
I mean, going back to all the issues we've been talking about, differentials and formations and enablers, Bamford, for the same reason I don't want to live in a world where I can't get Chris Wood in my team, I don't want to live in a world where I can't get Patrick Bamford or Calvert-Lewin as well, which is one of the reasons I probably am still holding on to Antonio, because he's a sort of a Bamford-shaped player in my team if I need to. But yeah, I mean, I just mentioned that because people need to be aware that obviously the likes of Calvert-Lewin and Bamford are coming back. And, you know, let's remember, these have been good assets for us in the past. So hopefully they can again. Before we move on to looking at the fixtures, I've got my goals imminent table just to... This hasn't got any sort of enablers as such, but it's got one, actually. So let's see. So this is the latest. This is last four fixtures. So these, you know, I've sort of separated it through various metrics to do with expected goals, etc. But essentially, they've shot a lot at goal and haven't scored much. So we're looking at reasons why. Aubameyang is top at the moment, 9.9, up against Newcastle next. So a good option if you still have him. I would not get rid of him this week. Bowen is second there, so lots going from Bowen. Rashica, Norwich. Now, Norwich are a team that could also be a nice source of cheap enablers there. So Rashica could be there. Andy, a Rashica?
No.
Okay, fair enough. We got Daniel James.
I love how you just handed that over to Andy. You're like, Andy, Rashica?
Rashica. Daniel James, Havertz, Callum Wilson. Perhaps Callum Wilson will get a bigger mention next week, show, after you've got Arsenal out of the way. Ronaldo, who could get a bigger mention soon, should the interim managers of the interim manager assistant in whatever, once they've got themselves sorted out, Ronaldo could be a nice option when Manchester United's fixtures improve and they have some kind of team that's worth getting. Armstrong, my man, Adam Armstrong. I think it's time for Adam Armstrong to leave, though. Although, you know, the stats say that there could perhaps more come from him, but I can't see that at Liverpool. Tony, who Seb's just got rid of, perhaps more to come, but you know, 12 goal attempts with 9 inside the box, 5 on target, is pretty good. But there does seem, I don't know, Seb, why other people with Tony might be thinking of getting rid of him. What eventually persuaded you that you can live without Tony?
Sure. So if I recall, his XG isn't good, despite those, you know, decent quantity of shots there. Yeah. The quality isn't really there. Last time I looked, I do have Mbeumo as well. So I do have some Brentford attacking coverage, if you like. I prefer Mbeumo in terms of an option, in terms of price, in terms of potential points, and his numbers are a bit better, despite the fact that he can't flipping not hit a post. And the Brentford boys were basically a fixtures play for me, which is kind of coming to a close now. You know, I got some points from Tony in the end, which was fine. I think my forward line is Jimenez, Tony and Antonio. And if I was going to lose one of them to mean I could get James in, Tony was the one I selected.
Okay. Yeah. No, just interesting because Tony's in, I've seen him in a lot of teams and people might be getting sort of itchy toes, Tony's, whatever about him. So just before we move on to fixtures, remember we've got a few more community myths here. So what I'll do is I'll read these out. These are myths from the community. So that I'll sort of fire them off. I'll alternate it so that we can sort of speed through a bit. So let's go with you, Andy, first. The myth from HY Liverpool and many others, don't captain defenders. And he's suggesting that Cancelo, Arnold, Chilwell, TAA are all valid. What do you think? Is it myth or not myth?
I think it's slightly less of a myth this year. And I think you can captain defenders this year. But we got to remember we got Salah sitting there who's the best player in the league at the moment. So, yes, the problem with captain defenders, and I've done it once or twice as well, is that it only takes a mistake that is nothing to do with them. And all of a sudden they've got 2 points. And it is an absolute killer because I can tell you now there will not be many people that week that are captain in defenders like you are. So if you see it and you think it's going to happen and it pays off, then lovely. But I can probably count with one hand how many times I have captained a defender in the last couple of years. So, yeah, there's probably a reason for that.
Andy, you need to plug your Cancelo shout this week, though.
Yeah, no, I did say, I went with Cancelo this week in a thread thing and it obviously came off quite well. but I won't go on about it too much.
Red Hot Chili asks, don't take a hit for a defender. That's the myth there. So, Seb, do you think that's a myth or not a myth?
I mean, I'll take the boring answer of it kind of depends on the defender, right? You know, if you're desperate to get in Trent, your defence is falling apart and he's got Norwich next or something, maybe it is worth it. It's probably slightly less worth it than all the rest of the teams players in your team. But as we discussed earlier, someone like Reece James, someone like Trent, if they were midfielders, would you suddenly be okay taking a hit for them? If yes, then it's fine taking a hit for them as a defender. But I guess to lean on Andy's answer a bit, because we know their points can disappear in a moment, and psychologically, right? Their points appear for a bit at 60 minutes and then disappear. You're watching a whole match hoping something doesn't happen as opposed to hoping something does happen. It can be a bit tougher. So after goalkeepers, they'd probably be bottom of my list, but it is going to depend on the player.
Andy, this one is fitting for your Christmas enablers. Major League Shocker asks, this is the myth that benching headaches are a terrible thing. And he wonders, should we in fact be embracing them this year? So, yeah.
100%. You want your bench to get points. You want your squad to get points. That's the whole point. If your bench wasn't getting points, all of a sudden you don't have options in your team. Like you want to have picked good players. And I hate it when people say people get lucky when they get benches off, you know, points off the bench. If, don't get me wrong, if you bench Rudiger and you played, I don't know, Williams from Norwich, then yeah, obviously you don't deserve those points. But you want your squad to do well. You want your whole 15 to do well because then you've got options all around the pitch. So yeah, I think that's a big one.
In the live chat, Simon is saying that he's going to take a hit for Trent Alexander-Arnold this week. Well, exact case in point, it could pay off there. Yeah. Just to go back to that, don't take a hit for a defender point. I'm going to answer this one quickly because it's just a myth. Circus Monkey, never captain someone in the first fixture. Yes, it has absolutely no bearing on these things. Many, many times I have captained Salah, Van Persie, Drogba, whoever, Wayne Rooney. They've all done me well wherever they play during the week.
Caveat to that, though.
Oh, yeah.
If they play on a Wednesday in Champions League and then they play Saturday morning because of some stupid fixture congestion, it can have a little bit of an impact there.
Yes, definitely. Actually, I guess that is a point. Although I have done that with Salah, though. But then I guess it depends on the player, though. So certain players, they're just so fit. It's just ridiculous. Antonio plays on a Thursday night and then plays on Saturday. I'm not going to go anywhere near captaining him, but Salah maybe.
Can someone in the chat please just trim that little clip of Joe going, some players are just so fit, it's ridiculous.
They're just so fit, it's just ridiculous. Well, someone just mentioned
to be
that.
Fair.
Joe just died. This is from Shani Russell again. Joe just died a little inside as Andy said he likes and wants points on his bench.
He dies a little inside whenever I talk, to be honest.
I don't at all. I've often got points on my bench. I don't mind that at all. I prefer to have that than not own them, because then I can just bring them in my team. It saves me a transfer. Seb, the last one, his one here. Mish asks, Mane is not worth owning as because you won't captain him. You can, you know, transfer Mane
to anyone. Throw this one over to Andy because I know he spoke about Mane earlier in the season.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I absolutely love it. We've literally spoken about combinations tonight, and I think Mane is I think he's the other premium to own personally. I think Liverpool, and the only problem is obviously you're then going to be taking both of them out when they both go to AFCON later on. But I think the combination of Salah and Mane, we saw it this week. I mean, yeah, if you've got both, you'd be very, very happy this week, especially captain and Salah each week. So, yeah, I love Mane.
Mish also asked this one. I'll answer this one. He said, and people who don't make transfers are casuals. We could be better off leaving our teams alone. And yes, I totally agree with that. That's something I completely agree with. I still have Sa in my team, for example. FPL Dino asks, always back the fixtures. That is the worst myth, he thinks. He said we should back form. So, yeah. Seb, always back in the fixtures, a myth.
I will happily say that. Yeah, I know. Andy knows. Say the line. Say the line, Seb. Say the line.
Toe the line.
Form doesn't exist. It's not a thing. It's a myth. You can back player quality. You can back circumstances. You can even go for psychology and confidence and all that stuff if you want those intangibles. But, I mean, I say form doesn't exist. It's not been proven to exist. It has been... How to phrase it has so far failed to be proven to exist when people have tried to prove it exists. So yeah, form's not a thing.
So is Reece James in form or not?
So I mean, coincidentally, I put another shallow, silly post together on Twitter earlier, which just sort of highlighted some players' returns in FPL recently. Vardy's a really good example. So Vardy was scoring lots of goals and then he stopped. But he was scoring lots of goals, so he was in form. So how come he stopped? You may be able to find explanations for that, and that's absolutely fine. But the thing here is that we can't use form to predict future returns. And a few little studies have been done, and they basically showed that actually when a striker scores in their previous match, they seem less likely to score in the next one if we look back historically over how many consecutive games they score in. So that was what I was referring when I was saying form hasn't been proven to exist. It might exist, but so far no one can find evidence for it. I think it's an easy psychological thing that we lean on. And it does, it's a useful descriptive word for like a player who has been doing well in a small patch or something. But for FPL predictive purposes, it's entirely useless.
You've just blown my mind. And that's good. That's a good thing. Because it has, oh no. I know. I've got all these pictures of stats on the screen and I'm thinking, using them to predict future returns and...
but that's fine. So
I actually agree with you. You've sort of altered my reality, and I agree with you. Actually,
I guess I will shut up then.
No, I'm on it. FPL. Praz. I'll just finish with these ones here. Never take hits. It's quite simple. It's a myth. Never take early transfers. He's saying that's a myth. And never bench boost in a single game week. Any thoughts on those?
It's because you're using words like never. That's the problem. Like never bench boost in a single game week. Like you can look back through your entire season and say, oh, that's when I should have done it. But of course, you're just playing the odds, aren't you? So obviously in a double game week, you're probably more likely to get more returns. But there's other ways of playing the game as well. Lots of people have used their bench boost now, so they don't have to worry about it later on and worry about using moves up to do it and all that kind of stuff. So there's so much that goes with it. It's basically use the bench boost when you think you're going to get the most points on your bench. That's as simple as it is. And usually we don't have a clue when that is. So
yeah, okay. Let's move on to fixtures. Now, that seeing as my mind's been blown about form... let's get the next four fixtures up. So fixtures, I'm hoping fixtures are still, they seem to be a good predictor of form. They've certainly worked with my Southampton lads and those who own Livramento have been doing ever so well. No coincidence, they've had good fixtures. Chelsea have been doing really well. Great fixtures as well. Anyway, so here's the fixtures here. We'll get your views. So Tottenham are top. Burnley, Brentford, Norwich and Brighton. It's probably wishful thinking there, but that form will follow these fixtures. But I think more lack of ketchup in the canteen might do more. Leicester, Watford, Southampton. Watford have got Leicester have got Watford. I'll say it again. Leicester have got Watford, Southampton, Villa and Newcastle. That's a really great run. But yeah, what do we think about Leicester? Because fixture wise, they've got great fixtures. And if it's difficult to predict form, and form doesn't even exist anyway, what do we do with Leicester then? Because should we get any of their players in? Or
so I guess, like, obviously, just to be, you know, I don't want to try and cause controversy where there isn't any. When the word form is completely valid, it's a good descriptive term for things that have happened in the past. It's just not useful or doesn't exist for predicting the future, because the only thing we know for sure about form is it always ends. Salah will stop scoring at some point, and you can't predict when that's going to be. But when we're looking at, say, a team being out of form or in form, we're usually just saying that in the last few, they have performed, say, above expectations consistently. That's entirely fair enough, and, you know, is a much quicker way of describing it than I've just done, which is why the word exists. So over to Leicester, it would be fair to say they are out of form or in form, and then use that to say, okay, how do we think they will then fare in good fixtures? Now, personally, I believe that fixtures are a very large part of whether a team will perform above or below their previous level going into those fixtures. So I look at Leicester's fixtures, and I do think those are attractive. Although, I mean, you know, Southampton, nice and blue there. Southampton away, they can turn up well sometimes. We'll ignore the 9-0. And I probably can find better options for my team than Leicester players at the moment. Okay. But if you did want to jump back on a Jamie Vardy, we saw it early in the season when no one had him. He had good fixtures and he returned. Maybe it happens again.
Moving down the list as well, we've got Newcastle, got Arsenal next, but then they've got this great run of Norwich, Burnley and Leicester, the out of form, if it exists. And then Brentford's fixtures, they're still quite good. Everton, I think the Everton one is a good fixture for defence and attack. And then Tottenham remains to be seen. Then Leeds, and then Watford. I mean, anything could happen in those. But I think they've got potential for Brentford to get returns. Liverpool, I mean, it doesn't really matter with Liverpool, but they've got Southampton, Everton, Wolves and Villa. Good fixtures. City got West Ham. Doesn't matter with them either. Villa, Watford and Wolves. And then Burnley. So my man Chris Wood. Tottenham, Wolves, Newcastle and then West Ham. But, you know, right at the bottom there, Aston Villa. They've got Crystal Palace next. Very promising signs from Steven Gerrard's start as a manager there against Brighton. So they've got Crystal Palace next, but then they've got a pretty bad one. They've got City, Leicester, you never know, and then Liverpool. So as soon as you see Chelsea and Liverpool, City, Liverpool, that kind of thing in a run of four, you think, I'm not going to get too many returns there, I don't think. And Watford, I like the look of, and we'll come to them in a sec. But Leicester, I think, is a good fixture for them. Chelsea, Man City are not. And then Brentford. And then their fixtures get quite good. So with all this in mind, let's pick some differentials. Seb, do you want to go first?
Oh, goodness. Certainly. Well, seeing as Mane is banned.
No, he's not banned. He's not banned. It's a myth.
It's a myth. Nice. I will go for a 4.2% owned player who was playing Newcastle in the first fixture of the day. There you go, captain him. And he appeared, was it top of your goals imminent table, I believe?
Oh, he is.
In Aubameyang.
Oh, okay. So let's put that table up there. There he is. 11 goal attempts, just one goal, last four. So yeah, returns imminent. Good choice. Yeah, I can't argue with that. No, he's 89.9 now. What was he? He was about 11 or something. Was he 11? No.
I'll have a look what he started at. He started at 10. So he's 10. Only... he went 9.9. He went back up to 10 and now he must have dropped. That's 10, like, I guess. People probably moved into Kane after not scoring for a
few. It's like when I go in Poundland and see something for 99p. I think, ooh, bargain.
Exactly.
Andy, who is your differential?
Yes, so my differential is Canos from Brentford. Ooh. So I feel like people have not gone in boomer. Seb mentioned about Brentford's fixtures not being quite as nice now, and I feel like their fixtures, but I think their fixtures are fine next four.
Yeah, I think they're absolutely fine. Yeah.
So I look at them and think that he can definitely still get returns. I feel like he rather than Bumo, who everybody's been going at, because obviously he's playing out of position, it's Canos that seems to be getting the return. So for me, I think he's only 2% owned and he's definitely worth having a look at.
Yeah, no, I agree. I think all of the Brentford players, I think there's huge value for there. And you're going to bench them some weeks and they can be your first sub or whatever. But yeah, look at that. I mean, I've got the Brentford goalkeeper. I don't know how, but I still happen to have him. But I'm really happy to play him for Everton, Tottenham less so. But Leeds and Watford, you never know. You never know. So yeah, my one is not... It's someone who's actually... who's got poor overall fixtures the next four, but I think they're a good player to get in. And that is Josh King. He's 5.6. He's 4% owned. And I'm thinking about future planning, really. Good fixtures very soon. And he's a good first part sub. He's very playable this week. Then you can bench him, Chelsea and City, and then you can bring him in for Brentford and the start of a very good run, which coincides with the start, really, of the festive fixture period, really. And, well, I can't remember which formation it was here. So top 10, let's go for this one. Yeah, there we go. I'll just do this one. This is the last six. Over the last six, he's had seven big chances. He's had a minutes per XGIs every 103.8 minutes. It's created seven chances. He scored four goals. These are great returns. I'm very, very keen to get him in. And I'm very tempted to move Antonio to him, play him this week, then just bench him. And then I've got a nice first sub, really good first sub, I think. And then I can just bring him in for those fixtures there and saves the transfer down the line. Because I think people might look at Watford enablers a bit further down the line for their attacks there. So last four game weeks, he's done very well as well. Top for big chances with seven still. Top for goals with Salah and Cornet on four. Second for shots in the box. Joint second for shots on target. And top for XG non-penalty. So yeah, Josh King I think is great. I think Dennis is sort of the same sort of player. For the purposes of this, we tend to go for sort of an ultra differential, but he is around 10% owned. Still a differential, I would say. So if you can't afford Josh King and you're looking for a cheap first sub bench player, wheel him out against Leicester, Dennis, as well.
I'd love just to add there as well, because obviously I mentioned King earlier and saying, oh, his numbers are massively inflated by one match. If you take that match out, his numbers are still good. I'm not trying to scare anyone off. It's just about understanding where they come from. So yeah, I agree with you, Joe. Sounds good to me.
Yeah, I think he's good. It's the price as well. It's just the price, because then I just think I'm not sure what I can do. But so
I managed to get to the differentials. I'm gonna have to go and put baby to sleep.
Oh, okay.
I'm so sorry.
Okay, that's fair enough.
Sorry, boys.
Fair enough.
It always when it gets to just over an hour and a quarter, I always struggle, so I'm gonna have to go.
Okay, I'll do your team bit for you.
Thank you.
Okay.
Cheers, boys.
Okay.
Cheers, Andy. Lovely to do it with you again.
Yeah. Bye.
Okay, rightio. What I'm gonna do is I'm gonna temporarily put me up on screen and then remove me. So show self view.
Are we playing the multiple Joes game again?
And then there we go. And we have a nice Fantasy Football Scout logo where Andy should be. So that's gorgeous. Good. So let's move on to our team. So I'll do Andy's one first. So this is Andy's team coming up. So I don't know what his plans are. I'm assuming he's going to stick with his captaincy. So he has got Saar in goal, Alexander-Arnold, Rudiger, Chilwell, Cancelo in a 4-5-1. So we're talking about formations. So he's an example of looking at different formations. Salah captain, Mbomo, Son, Foden, Saka and Tony. There's a lot of Chelsea allegedly have a poor fixture against Manchester United. I think not. Cancelo allegedly has a poor fixture against West Ham. I think not. So I would say that's a pretty 100% blue fixture ticker team there. So with Antonio's his first sub, Livramento, the mythical Richardson there as well, and Steer, who is no longer a myth, he exists and has played albeit once. This is a good team. I think this is a great team. So I hope he's not going to make any changes.
Yeah, I mean, we were talking earlier about what would you advise other people to do, riskier or safer. I don't know if he's got two free transfers. If he doesn't, I would roll and have two frees next week.
Yeah, definitely.
I'm sure he could optimise, but this looks good to me. And he's got, You know, if Cancelo gets rotated for the first time this season, he's got Antonio and Livramento. I like it a lot.
Yeah, definitely. Here's my one. This looks awful at the moment. lots of red, lots of flags. So Jota was seen in training today, so that's one flag less, hopefully. Rafinha, hopefully he's going to get better, so that's another flag less. Sarr, hopefully he's going to get better, so there's another flag less. I do have two free transfers. So at the moment, I'm looking at a sort of a 4-4-2. Fernandes, Alexander-Arnold, Chilwell, Cancelo, Cody, who has Norwich away, and then Salah captain, Rafinha, Jota, Sarr. Up front, I've got Kane. I have Armstrong in there. I'm not playing Armstrong against Liverpool. Armstrong's there because one of Armstrong or Antonio is going to go to Josh King, I think.
Joe, allow me to interrupt you there and say, have you seen the chat?
Oh, what's it saying?
It sounds like Chilwell is down, and probably not lightly. I've not got the match on, so okay. I'm not sure, but that may affect your plans going forward.
Rightio. Okay. I have two free transfers. What's Chilwell's price? 5 point something or other?
I think it's 6 now. It's probably a very easy move to Reece James.
Well, that's it. That's simple then.
Yeah. And then Reece James will get arrested and you'll use Antonio anyway.
No, I was going to say, what I was going to do is, I was probably going to do Antonio to Josh King or Dennis, but probably Josh King, and then upgrade whichever of Livramento or Cody to Reece James. So I would get Reece James in. That would be for free. Livramento is going to be permanently on my bench for a while now. Cody I'd like to play this week. So as you can see, I was looking at getting Reece James in as well as Chilwell. If Chilwell is out, then yeah, that's easy. Apparently he's off injured.
I'm not seeing the extent of it, so I hope he's okay. But from an FPL point of view, I guess it just changes the order of your moves, really. You can do a similar thing in a different way.
So basically, in a way, that's slightly better for my team, but I do feel sorry for anyone who gets injured. So Chilwell to James, done. And then Armstrong to Josh King. And then Antonio will come back in. So Antonio will get a reprieve because of that, probably. But let's see.
Worth noting, Andy's got Chilwell as well. And I think he has Reece James, doesn't he? So, but we mentioned his bench was good, so he may be happy to hold.
Yeah. He's got a very strong bench. I don't know what he'll do there. I guess
if Chilwell is out for a while, and of course we hope he isn't.
You're going to say the name, aren't you?
Oh, yeah. I've stolen off.
No, you are, yeah. And yeah, it's a tempter. It's a tempter. But I think Alonso, Reece James, is there going to be one winner there? That's going to be Reece James. So yeah, that's my move. So yeah, it's one of these ones where it's very, very much up in the air. This team will look very, very different. I don't want anyone to look at that and go, Joe, you're mad. Armstrong against Liverpool. That's just not going to happen. I've just sort of put him there because it's going to be another striker, probably. So yeah, moving on to your team. Take us through your team and your transfer thoughts. You've already made a transfer.
Yeah, I've made two transfers. Nah. The myth, if you like, of not making any transfers because of injuries. Well, we've just had one, but fortunately, from my point of view, it wasn't my player. I bought in Reece James. So my team is Sanchez in goal, Alexander-Arnold, Cancelo, James and Rudiger at the back. Mm-hmm. I've had Rudiger for a while. If I was wildcarding now or something, yeah, I'd get the wing-backs, but yeah. I'm very happy to keep Rudiger and add James as opposed to make that swap. Salah is my captain with Son Vice, and then I have Foden, Rafinha and Mbeumo in midfield, and Jimenez as the lone striker against Norwich with a bench of Steele, Antonio, Davis and Livramento.
Okay, so that's been and done. Looking good. It's looking good.
I like it. I mean, I do wonder if I could have used the wild card a couple of weeks ago to get the defenders sooner than I have them now and maybe, you know, steal a few points on other people. But I'm content enough. I have a team I'm happy with. And I'm kind of just looking for an opportunity to use the wild card, you know? Man United's fixtures in 16, but we know at the moment they're terrible. So not really sure what I'm going to do with it.
Yeah, no, I mean, I think this is going to be an unusual week. With Chilwell is I think, more highly owned than James. So, I mean, I thought
it was James.
It could be James now. I can have a little but I think check. It was, yeah, I might be like a week or two out of date there. But Chilwell's very, very, I think I might be looking at my own effective ownership around where my team is in the rankings.
I mean, it's worth saying for anyone listening that, you know, the percentage you see on the FPL website is out of all 8.5 million managers.
Oh, yeah.
What's more relevant really is, you know, the bracket you're in. You know, if you're if you're in the top 10K or top 100K, you don't care what manager number 8 million is doing.
Yeah, definitely. He's very highly owned where I am, my neck of the woods. I think them and me, let's just move to James. That's just going to happen. I think that pretty much cements James playing as well, you would imagine, against Manchester United, because not only is he needed, but if Chilwell's not there, I can't see him going with both backup wing backs.
I think that's the thing. Do you think it really affects James? Because I get Alonso is a decent enough substitute. And I think James will play versus Man United. Yeah. I'd wonder if it's the Watford match he might miss.
Yeah.
But we've seen him change them both. You know, he almost does it in pairs. He almost changes them both at the same time.
Okay.
So I don't know if it might affect James or not. I think it's an independent decision, really.
Okay. Well, I fully anticipate missing a game, but I don't think it'll be this one. I hope not anyway. But even so, if it is, then I'd more than happy to field Reece James against Watford. That'd be good. Seb, thanks so much for joining us. Thanks so much to Andy in his absence as well. Hopefully we've busted some myths. Hopefully we've secured some myths. I was quite surprised that my thing on formation caused such a stir. I'm really not massively defending a three at the back. I'm more defending my right to get Chris Wood in. That's more what I'm talking about.
Your right to get Wood.
But in the meantime, it's a goodbye from me.
It's a goodbye from me.
Goodbye, all.